Maybe you can share more about that
downstairs. Check with Brad. He has a lot of fun stories. You're not bashful around others, and I appreciate that. So I'm going to share a few things with you this morning. I'm going to continue on the tabernacle. I would say this. I felt in my heart that the messages I spoke 2 weeks ago and last week was something directly from the heart of God to this body. Actually, last week I was telling Andrew, kind of blew me away. I got more feedback from last week than I have since I've been here. I don't know quite the reason. I wasn't expecting it, but I felt like it's too. The first one, when 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the school of Tyrannus. It was a small place, but from that small place, the gospel went out throughout all of the community. And the parable of the pounds, we're all giving something, but what we do with it matters. And last week, just being a generous in our hearts, being generous givers, the greatest example I enjoyed from that was in Acts when prophet prophesied there's going to be a famine throughout the land, and the first reaction of the early church was not, let's store up everything we have, it's let's take up an offering for the guys down the road. And that's what I want our initial heart and action to be, not as hoarders, but givers. Amen. And so I want to encourage you again next week. I have a base amount that I'm going to be giving out, and my prayer is that I'm giving above the base amount and not pulling the other amount from the budget. And so just want to encourage you to be generous next week and pray about what to give as we bless those other ministries in the community. I'm going to keep speaking about the tabernacle of Moses, and I've got my water up here this week. My voice is a little off, if you can't tell, so just bear with me. I've been sharing some on the tabernacle of Moses, and I'm going to continue. I'm not going to go as detailed as it probably could be. I'm going to do an overview, and today, my message today is more, I struggled with it, to be frank with you. It's just going to be more points, but I feel like there's some points that are really going to speak to a couple people from the heart of God. But go ahead and turn with me to Exodus chapter 27. We're going to look at verse 16. And the tabernacle of Moses, and the key verse there was in Exodus 25. He went up on the mountain, Moses, and he heard straight from the heart of God. And it said, let them prepare a sanctuary for me that I might dwell among them. And we've spoken a few weeks back about how it was designed as I need to get a picture up here for you guys, because sometimes, at least for me, visual aids help. The tribes, 12 tribes, were surrounded around the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a picture of Jesus. It's a place where he dwelt. And you have to see Jesus in everything that we do. And Jesus has to be central. He has to be the focus of our hearts and of our lives. Let me go ahead and read in verse 16. It says that for the gate of the court there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, made by a weaver. It shall have four pillars and four sockets. All the pillars around the court shall have bands of silver. Their hooks shall be of silver, and their sockets of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, the width 50 throughout, and the height 5 cubits, made of woven linen, and its sockets of bronze. All the utensils of the tabernacle for all the services, all its pegs, and the pegs of all the court shall be of bronze. Real quick, let me share a couple things. This is a little off subject, but it's important. When you read the scriptures, this is just a tip from Clay. there's a fancy term that a theologian would use if you read it, and it's historical contextual hermeneutics. And basically what that means is when you read scripture, it's important that you read it and you understand when it was written, who it was written to, and what the original reader would see when they saw it. One thing that's really cool about the tabernacle is as you read through, especially like there's some verses I'm going to pull from Psalms, Hebrews, and we see different words and phrases and images they use. And to the Hebrew mind at that time, they're going to go back to this tabernacle. Remember I spoke, I don't have it in front of me. There's so many different chapters. I wish I had it written somewhere. 131 verses I remember in Hebrews. I would say close to 25 to 50 chapters throughout the first five books of the Bible on the tabernacle of Moses. And so if the Spirit of God thought it was that important for us to focus on, there's a lot of truth in there, okay? And I want to kind of, like I said this morning, give you just some a heart of some things. I'm speaking about the gate. When you come to the gate, it's the foundational place when we come into a relationship with God. Who is the gate? Jesus, yes. Jesus said, and it depends on what translation you have, and says, I am the door, or I am the gate, in John chapter 10. If any man enter through me, he will be saved. He will go in and come out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So Jesus, the gate to the tabernacle is a beautiful picture of Jesus. And I'm leaving some details out. I will say, if you want to do some more study on your own, come see me, and I've got some really good resources you can use for it. But it's a picture of the gate. One thing I was looking, when Jesus said this in those times, a shepherd, actually this was a cool picture. There were shepherds in the town, but when they were out in the fields, like he was talking about here, what the shepherd would actually do at night when they would sleep, the little passageway, the shepherd would lay down right in the passageway. He was literally the gate to the sheep. And if the sheep would go out, you have to step on top of the shepherd, which is pretty cool. Jesus is the gate. Okay. There's one way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen? How do we approach the Lord? This is one-on-one this morning. How do we approach the Lord? Through the gate, through Jesus. When I enter, the tabernacle is a portable big structure, linen, white linen sides, and there's a big bronze, a big gate, which I'm going to share more about. But the gate is the entrance way to Christ, or to the Father. Amen? There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is the gate. Okay? Is a picture of the gate. The gate faced east. I'm just going to give you some little nuggets about some things and take what we can from it. The gate faced east. Sometimes it's cool if you read the Bible. Bob mentioned some of this morning. You know, I love the Word of God. And when you read it with the eyes of the Spirit, it's inexhaustible. Okay? And if you look east, when Adam and Eve, the gate faced east. And so when Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, they went east. When Cain departed from the presence of the Lord after he killed his brother, he went east. When Lot departed from Abraham, he went east. Okay? Throughout the scriptures, when Jesus was making his triumphal entry, he went from east to west. And so there's a passage and there's a principle throughout scripture, and we see it through the tabernacle. The gate faced east, but we move west to approach God. If I'm moving east, I'm running from God. Let me just say this. In all of our lives, the Christian walk, our life with God, following Christ, it's known as a race, a walk, a journey. Okay? It's a day-to-day thing in our life. Amen? It's not an event. Your Christian walk did not end when you got born again. It just began, right? I'm born into the kingdom of God. And so that means, let me say how... This is just how I see things and how I view life and how I view my walk with God. You know, I've shared some of this before. The gate was the very entrance way. We'll look in every piece of furniture, every hanging, every cap, every color is all a picture of Jesus. All of it is. But I start at the foundational point of the gate and I'm moving forward. I should constantly be pressing forward in my walk with the Lord. Okay, and it's important that we don't, I've got saved, I'm filled with the Spirit, and now I've got it. No, there's more. And so how I see things, if you look at Martin Luther, Protestant Reformation, we just celebrated the anniversary of that some time ago. The just shall live by faith. That's common. You can preach it in any church. It's foundational Orthodox Christianity. Okay, I'm made righteous, justified, legal term through faith. Okay, Martin Luther went through chaos to have to present that truth as being truth. Amen? Amen. Baptism, water baptism. We baptized Brad and Liz and we immersed them in water. Remember in July when you were here. Okay, the Anabaptists hundreds of years ago for teaching that. They were killed. They were dipped under the water until they didn't come back up again. I don't have to do that today. Amen? So I'm standing on their shoulders and I'm continuing to press in. And I can gather everything that the body of Christ has done. If you read throughout Scripture, the body of Christ is bigger than just our church. It's bigger than just today. It's just bigger. It encompasses everyone gone before and after us. And so I stand on their shoulders and I continue to press in. And my heart and all of our hearts should be this. I'm going to grow and be more than what they were before me, but I want my children. I want Owen. When Owen is my age, I want him to be well advanced in his walk with God than I am right now. Amen? Amen. That should be all of our heart, whether you have a child or not. Find someone to invest in. See that God will prosper and let your heart. This is another thing about giving. A lot of times you see it even in ministry. People want to keep people down. You know, our hearts in every place should be this. I want to see you. I want to see my children go well beyond what I am when I'm my age. Okay? Find someone and let it be your heart. I want you to succeed and go far in God. I want you to be teaching me. I was so pleased. James and Sean and Teresa were clapping this morning during worship. And I always tell them, I say, I want you to be an example. You worship God. If you're a child, but you worship God. You set an example. You set a precedent. I want my son to keep teaching me one day. Amen? There's always more. We're always. So our walk with God is a journey. It's a life. I'm either running from God, or I'm just camped out where I am, or I want to be constantly pressing in. We'll see it. I need to get a picture. The tabernacle, I'm constantly moving and seeing more and more and more of Jesus. Amen? It's all about Him. Let me just share a few little things in the tabernacle, and just bear with me on this, because I have something I want to say. When we come to the gate, the gate is right here at the outer court. Okay, so as I enter into the gate, there's an outer court. The first thing I come to is a bronze laver where there's sacrifice, and there's a brazen altar, where there's sacrifice. Then the laver speaks of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, washed us in the water of the Word, all right there. And so I initially come in that way. But when we come in, the gate that was right outside, or the tribe that was camped right outside of the gate, just stay with me for a minute because I have a point I'm making with this, was Judah. Okay? Judah means praise. When Leah gave birth to Judah in Genesis 29:35, it says, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Okay? There's a passage, there's a couple passages, and we know this one. In Psalms 104, there used to be an old song we would sing, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." Again, Hebrew reader reading this, and they say, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." Those two terms connected with each other. Oh, tabernacle. Enter into the gates and into his courts. I enter in with praise, with thanksgiving. Does that make sense? Yes, I believe it does. I can find Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18. It says, "Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders. But you shall call your walls salvation," their walls on the outer court, "and you shall call your gates praise." Okay? Do you see a connection here in the scripture? Jesus is the gate. Judah, gates, praise. Let me say this, and this is foundational, but the Lord speaks to my heart about it. I'm going to share it with all of us because it's true. There should be a place in all of our lives where we have a wonder of who Jesus is and what He did for me. I pick on you again, Brad. I remember the first time Brad started coming here, and we went to Duncan across the Ray to connect. And I think I said this to you at that time or some other time. I said, never lose this thing that you have. Because, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time. And I'm ashamed to say, sometimes you lose the sense of awe and wonderment of who Jesus is. And it becomes routine, you know? Maybe it's just me, but it can become routine. And I can come into a worship service and be singing about how beautiful Jesus is. And it's just routine. And I think the Lord wants to take all of us back where I actually enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise. And I come, one of the ways we show praise and worship to Jesus is to be thankful. And I can truly be thankful from my heart. Jesus, You are beautiful. You are wonderful. You know, the gate was also, and Andrew didn't know I was going to be sharing about this, the gate was also known as the beautiful gate. There were different, there was scarlet, blue, purple, intertwined. It was beautiful. The other sides of the tabernacle were all dull, white colors. It was a beautiful gate, big and beautiful. Sound like Donald Trump, big and beautiful gate. Sorry, Cassie. It was big and beautiful, and there has to be a place in our life, in our heart. I hope this is coming across the way I want it to, where Jesus is just beautiful to us. And I can say, Lord, I thank you for no other reason than, you know, you saved me from a life of destruction. I should never lose the foundation and the principle of my heart being excited about what Jesus did for me on the cross. Okay? I'm always moving forward and pressing and learning more about Him, and I want to do that. But as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, no other foundation can anyone lay which is Christ Jesus. I should always be taken in wonderment. And if we're not, you know, that's something you, and I do it myself, you go to the Lord about that and see, Lord, I'm not at all what you've done for me the way I should, Lord. It can be routine. I've shared this before. Sometimes we read scriptures, and if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, it's one disadvantage that I have because I grew up in the church. And so I can read a story. I know the end from the beginning of it, and it loses a lot of its passion and meaning to me. And sometimes one of my prayers to the Lord is, Lord, let me read this for the first time. Lord, give me eyes to see where I've never read this before. First time reading it, and let me just fall in love with you again. We spoke about love this morning in Bob's class. You know, there's a prayer that I would pray. I remember my assistant and pastor years ago told us about it. I've shared it here. It's a good principle. But it's, Lord, simple. Lord, help me to love you. Lord, I want to love you more than I do. You know, He was going to answer that prayer for you. I promise you. Lord, I want to love you. Lord, I want to sing What a Beautiful Name It Is and mean it with all my heart. Lord, you are beautiful. Lord, you're more precious than silver. Something that wells up on the inside of me of thankfulness to Him. Amen? This is foundational at the gate. The gate dealt with praise, thanksgiving. Are you thankful for Him? Am I thankful? Do I love Him? Am I passionate for Him? I desire Him. I've heard this before too, and John Wimber made a good statement. John Wimber was going to be with the Lord, but his whole movement was really big into worship. But he said that the main heart of worship is intimacy with God. He said, I define intimacy as belonging to or revealing one's deepest nature to another, in this case to God, and it's marked by close association, presence, and contact. Let me say this just to help. If it does help, we often hear this too, and the Lord lays out good foundations for prayer in Scripture. One of my favorite guys, I have a book in there, I don't know where it is anymore, but it was Walter Buechler's book, Lord's School of Prayer. And if you read the way he prays, he would lay out a piece of paper and he said, Lord, did you read this? Lord, did you read the Philadelphia Inquirer? And he would just very like he was talking to. And we say that about prayer, but I want to encourage you that, you know, perhaps worship can be looked at the same way. You don't have to come in with antics. There's a guy I remember in Bible school. He was from Bolivia, and he would worship, and he would be up going at it. You know, my personality doesn't do that, but worship can be a simple thing of, I don't have to act a certain way, I don't do a certain thing, but in my heart I can say, Lord, I'm thankful for you. However that comes out, whether that's a quiet thing, whether it's a loud, exuberant thing, where it's a simple thing. Lord, I'm going to enter into your gates with thanksgiving. I'm going to enter into your courts with praise. The very foundation of my life as I start my journey with you, I never want to lose the awe and the wonderment of who you are. Amen? All right. That's simple, but how often do we move past those simple things? God always gets us back to foundations. I'm big on foundations. Get you back to your foundation and your walk with Him. Now I'm going to share one more little principle, one more little tip. The gate was very large. It was 20 by 5 cubits. That's a fun study, but in feet, It was 7.5 feet, and so you can see me. I'm about 6'1", 6'2". I remember when I played basketball, people think I'm tall then, go with these giants. Like, oh, you know, you're looking up like Bob. I look up to Bob when I talk to him. Hurt my neck. I don't know how he's 6'8", or something. 6'6". So Bob's 6'6", and I'm looking up to him. So it was 7.5 feet high, and I think it was 30 feet wide. So it was a big gate, right? Why do you think it was so big? Whosoever will, he desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Let me just share a couple of things. How we view and how we look at humanity, how we see people. I preached a message one time, not here, it was elsewhere, and it was, I should maybe do it here. It was on the truth of reconciliation. And Graham Cook has a phrase I like. He said, we're redeemed people in a reconciled world. And what that means is this, you know, through Jesus Christ, God has made peace with all men, okay? It doesn't mean they've accepted him, but it means the way is open for them, right? I love hearing stories about people who were so far removed from God, and the gate, Jesus, was so wide, he was able to take them in. Amen? Amen. And when I view and I see humanity, I say, you know what, maybe, you know, I don't know what you think about God, but this is what he thinks about you. Amen. This is who he is. And I live my life in such a way where I've modeled, and we've talked a lot about the kingdom of God, you're an ambassador. And so I model principles of the kingdom of God, and so they can look and see. I like the passage in 1 Peter. Gosh, what's the passage when it's, I want to take time to turn there. But it says for an unbelieving spouse that they would see your chaste conduct. I think that's in 1 Peter chapter 3. I think so. But that we can live such a life. You know what? You may be so far from God. You may be someone who's in the prisons, who's done something horrible. But you know what? You might not be redeemed. But the Lord's handing is almost like the Lord. I always say this. It's like He's made the meal for you. He's just waiting for you to come to the table and partake of it. He's got the big, beautiful gate that's right here. And it's so big that it can take you in. And I say this, is a simple truth, but oftentimes we look, I remember a guy sharing one time with me about Bill Maher. I think that's his name. Nasty comedian, whatever he is. And he said, he's just a reprobate. And you know, I honestly have a hard time going along with that. To me, that's someone who's walking far from God, but it's someone who's within the arm reach of God. God's made a way for him. God loves that man. Amen? Mm-hmm. And it's important that we see that. We view humanity and we view people with a heart of love. I was thinking recently, I heard someone share, you know, the passage in Matthew 18, when it talks about someone who's outside of the faith, you know, you treat them. Someone who's in the body of Christ and they kick the guy out. Treat him as you would an unbeliever. And a lot of times we think that, and we think, well, the guy's left the faith, we're going to treat him like an unbeliever, we're going to be mad at him and do this. But how do you treat a tax collector and an unbeliever? How did Jesus do that? Yes. And oftentimes we say, oh, this guy's outside the faith. You know, Andrew and I went to Bible school with a guy, and I'm actually not too surprised, but just a little. He's walked away from God, basically. Just out with it, man. And how do we treat that guy? Oh, you've left the faith. We're not going to interact with you anymore. No. How did Jesus treat the tax collectors and the sinners? He still ate with them. He showed them a heart of love. And he still, you know what, maybe we're not walking in fellowship anymore, you know, but I'm still going to love you. And you know what? That gate is so big. Jesus, so big and wide. There's always a place for you. Amen? It's important. This is simple. But as mindsets, sometimes we often develop. I'm going to keep you away from me because you're not walking. It's not my job to judge those who are outside. It's not my job to... I can say this. You're not walking in Christ, and I judge that. But ultimately, I leave them to the Lord. And my responsibility, I spoke on this some time ago, is to show my heart of love, to demonstrate and model who my King is, and be an ambassador of Jesus Christ to that person. So it's a mindset. It's a thing maybe some of us do, but I used to always see Matthew 18 treat him as an unbeliever and tax collector. Well, we don't interact with that person anymore. No, we do. Jesus sat down and ate with them. He loved them. He called them to himself. Okay? So another passage I'm going to read about this, and I'm going to be wrapping up. It's in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. You don't have to turn there. But I want to say something. It says that, I love this passage. It says, I, even I, me, who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I blot out your transgressions for my sake. For my sake. Oftentimes, we forget what a mess we were. I don't care how good you are, but what a mess we were before Jesus. We walked through the gate of Jesus Christ and walked into Him. And we spend time as believers focusing on everything that's wrong with us other than everything that's right about Him. I was talking to my wife about this last night with someone. She was chatting with someone who was sharing this. You know, I focus so much on everything that's wrong with me, what I've done wrong, my history, my this, my that. And when I started to focus on who He is, how big and wide He is, my own self-inadequacies melted. I know a guy who's, I think I've shared about him before, he grew up in a home where it was very, you know, he would, you know, the preacher would pull up his trousers and get in a fight with his wife to get his game face on and tell everyone how bad they are all the time. And what happened is he developed a sense of constantly having to work and prove himself to God over and over. You know, if I come in through Christ, through the blood, I come in through Jesus. I come in that way, and I stay in that way. I don't have to come in that way and stay in different ways. Amen? Does that make sense? I come in through Christ, and I keep coming to Christ every time. We do that with the blood of Jesus. I'm talking about the altar. But Lord, it's your blood. Jesus, it's you. And sometimes we can spend so much time, and we can be paralyzed. If you look at the big picture, the whole thing of the tabernacle, and we can stay right there, right at the gate, because we're constantly focused on what's wrong with me, on what I've done wrong, how I've missed the mark, what happened here, what happened there. And I know it's easy for me to come up here and stand behind here and say this stuff. It's another thing to have to walk it out and live it. But my heart is this, that you focus on who Jesus is. When I come to the gate, the beautiful gate, how big it is with the praise. You know, if I'm struggling in an area, if I have this problem or that problem, that's a time to say, you know what, Jesus, if it wasn't for you, I'd be a mess. And I might feel like a mess, but you're the gate. I enter into your court gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. And though I don't feel like it, thank you, Jesus, that your gate is big enough and wide enough for all my messes, for all my issues, for everything, and you gladly accepted me to yourself. When you have in the natural, and you, if you have a friend who knows everything about you, all your faults, all your failures, everything, and they gladly accept you and open their hearts to you, there's something that it does to you because you say, hey, you know my warts and all, right? And you're still there. Marriage will do that to you, right? You get to know everything about your spouse. And you come in, and there's just something that there's a love, like we talked about this morning, Bob, and a bond that's formed when I recognize, Lord, you called me from a mess. You turned me around. And when no one else would accept me, your gate was big. Just stop and think about that. For each and every one of us, Lord, your gate was big enough and wide enough that it took me in. That's going to make you thankful, right? That's going to make Psalms 110 a practical reality. And I constantly go back and I sing songs, beautiful one, whatever we sing. And I can truly say, God, you are good. Get back to my foundation, the very first part of my life with God. Jesus, you are the gate. You are beautiful. You know, let me say this too, one more little tidbit, and I'm going to wrap up.
And I'm leaving a lot of stuff out. This is a wonderful subject.
I'm kind of a nerd with stuff like this. I like it. But it was interwoven linen, and it was scarlet, blue, and purple.
Yep, the scriptures. Purple speaks of royalty.
Scarlet, the blood, blue, the color of heaven. He's our royal king who is sacrificing his scarlet blood, make us white as snow, the white linen
on the outside, picture the righteousness.
Remember, Revelation speaks to the linen, the righteous deeds of the saints. Jesus is beautiful. He's the king of heaven. He's the royal king of heaven. His blood has made me whiter than snow. And I guess if I have just a central heart for this message, and my other ones will be a little more, I think, direct going forward. And it's just going to be an overview. My central heart is this, and this is how the Lord spoke to me. Never, 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 never leave the foundation of being in awe and wonder and thankfulness of who Jesus is. I may never do anything, but I have to go back and when I can sing a song and say, Lord, this is who you are. Lord, I'm thankful. The song of my heart is, thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, give me a thankful heart for you, Jesus. And I always keep that place of sensitivity to him, where I'm thankful and gracious. And I see with his eyes that just as he accepted me through a big wide gate, and I go out and I go to the prison and I go to the warm center and I see the Bill Maher, whatever his name is, of the world. And I can say, you know what, I'm not going to call this guy a reprobate. I'm going to say he's someone who's not saved yet. But God has a purpose for him. And God has made peace with him as long as he accepts it. He has to accept it. But there's a gate that the Lord has opened up for him. Amen. Amen. This was simple this morning. I'm telling you, you can grow a high tower when you have foundations scripturally that are solid and Christ-centered. Amen. I can go as high as I can in God, as high as I want to in God. But I have to always come back, Lord, to a thankfulness and understanding that he is the way, the truth, and the life. I can never forget that. I can't forget that. No man comes to the Father but by me. Who is the gate? I start my journey westbound towards the heart of God, everything that he has for me. But I always, always, always remember that I came through the gate. I came through Christ Jesus and his shed blood. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Lord, we thank you this morning for your word, a simple word, but Lord, I ask that it pierces our hearts. And Lord, I just ask that for each and every one of us in here, Lord, including myself, Lord, that you just give us a heart of simplicity and gratitude and thankfulness to you, Lord, that we never graduate, quote unquote, beyond the realm of being thankful for you. And Lord, for having a heart that can say, Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, I'm thankful for what you've done for me. Jesus, I thank you for taking me in as your own, calling me your son or your daughter. I thank you, Jesus, Lord. I ask that you would just impart that to each and every person here, Lord, that we would always be grounded, rooted and grounded in love of who you are. And we bless you, we honor you, and we thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So that's it. Come down and get some snacks and warm center Thursday, prayer on Tuesday. And come with your offerings next week for the community. Amen. Bless you.